So don't get overwhelmed. Dive into it instead and make changes one step at a time. Is there anything else that you'd want to add to that?
No, that's good. That's really good.
Have you ever felt like talking to your kid was like talking to a, well...
Hello, Wall.
The truth is, your teenager wants to talk to you. They would love to tell you all about their world outside of your home. Meet Mike Donahue, youth specialist, school culture expert, school assembly speaker, communicator, author, and all-around cool dude. He has over 3 decades of experience connecting with teenagers and would love to help you connect with yours. Join us for this dynamic podcast.
Hello, Wall.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Talking to Brick Walls podcast. My co-host, co-partner, co-friend, whatever, Steve Hayes is here with us as well. And we're going to jump right into this and chat about the book, Talking to Brick Walls. And Steve, what's going on? How you doing, buddy?
Hey, man. I'll tell you, you want to know what's up? I'll tell you what's up. Jay Martin is up.
Jay Martin did a great job on those podcasts.
Wow, you want to talk about a mic drop. I mean, I've listened to those podcasts several times now, and he says such, the wisdom that he throws down, I think it's really cool that the whole state of Nebraska hired him to be, what did you say he was, security for all the schools, for schools, kids' welfare or whatever, students?
Yeah, physical and emotional welfare. I don't know the exact title, but it's something along those lines where he's kind of over all of that to make sure kids are safe socially and also physically.
And I love that because when I heard you mention his title, I never pictured social media being in there. But then when you interviewed him, I'm so glad that you interviewed him. Oh, my. I mean, the stuff that we learned, if you guys haven't listened to those episodes, you really need to listen to those episodes. And Mike, I was also thinking, too, that it would be good for people to share those episodes with parents, not necessarily of teenagers, they're not talking to brick walls yet, right? But parents of preteens or their kids don't have phones yet. I mean, we've got teenagers already, and all of a sudden we're finding out the dangers of social media. But one thing that I really liked what he said was it's easier to start when your kids first get the phone versus when if you're trying to set up a contract or whatever with them after they've had their phone a while, it's much more difficult. Can you talk to us a little bit about what he was talking about there?
Yeah, basically realizing that social media is a powerful tool. It's powerful. And you know, I think I like what he said was, you know, you don't give your kid the keys to the car and say, hey, go. You know, you give them some training. You walk them through some different things. And so, yeah, for sure, you know, all of a sudden they're connected to this world that's unscrupulous and got tons of different ways of getting involved in it. So, yeah, to be able to, before they get the phone, before they, you know, begin exploring that world, go through some of those ground rules and boundaries that are real important. It is harder once the kid is addicted to, and it is an addiction. I think he did a good job at really helping us see that the dopamine levels get triggered when a kid clicks on something, and that's how the algorithms work. They try to keep you on the sites by, you know, clickbaiting you and giving you things that are going to keep you on that site. So it is an addiction. So once a kid is addicted and you try to stop the addiction, that's one thing. But if you can get there before the addiction even starts and regulate things and make it harder to get addicted, I think that's a wiser approach to it.
Yeah, that's why I think it would be great if you watching this, if you've got friends that have kids that haven't gotten phones yet or have just gotten their phones, because this podcast really is for talking to brick walls. It's for educators as well as parents of teenagers to get our kids to communicate and to learn how to communicate to our kids properly. But this episode with Jay, when he was talking about, man, it's if you can start with these rules, and I love the fact that he had a webpage as well that showed you guidelines, and he wasn't just a one-and-done thing. He gave us a lot of tools on his webpage, and I'll put the webpage up in the show notes. I don't remember what it was, but I think it'd be very good to, number one, send this to people that have kids that don't have phones yet or just they just gave them their kids' phones. And secondly, it would be good to revisit that. A quote that he said that I'd like for you to tag on real quick was when, and it even got a little bit of rise out of you when he said it, but he said, you would invite a stranger into your home, but when you give your kids a phone, you're basically inviting strangers from anywhere and everywhere to come into your phone.
Absolutely. I mean, there are catfishers and trollers and people that are looking for vulnerability. They're looking for vulnerable kids. And so we have got to be really careful. Again, that is a powerful tool. It's not just a phone. It is a TV studio. It's a broadcasting mechanism. It has a lot of features that invite, you know, people into your home. So you've got to be really careful. And I can't emphasize that enough with parents, that it's not just something to give them while they're, you know, to get them out of the way for a few minutes so you can do what you need to do. You've got to really regulate what they're looking at. One of the things that because I was rereading it yesterday, that chapter, just the idea that it's a way of you know, those kids are emotionally connected to it as well, not just the dopamine levels and the sensation, but they get connected to a certain genre, a certain music genre, a certain way of thinking, worldview. And again, being able to know what that is and have discussions with your child. About that, because that's really important. They're diving into something that is separating the two of you. You don't know really what they're thinking on those levels. So getting there and trying to figure that out is a, you know, is a great idea. So keeping that dialogue going is very important.
And the chapter you're talking about is actually chapter 8 in your book. No, is that correct?
Chapter 9.
Chapter 9. What do you call it? Some TikTok.
Let's talk TikTok. Let's talk TikTok, right?
Yeah, yeah. So not only are those, and didn't you involve Jay a lot in the writing of that chapter as well? He gave you a lot of input, right?
Yeah, actually, he wrote a lot of it, and I just rewrote it to make it fit the context of the book. But yeah, he was very helpful. And I've known Jay for a long time, and I knew him when he was a resource officer in the state of Colorado at Douglas County, and that's how I met him. We both spoke at the same event, and we were able to connect there. And immediately when I heard him talk, I said, I got to get to know this guy. And what he does, he actually takes copies of my book Value Up, and he gives it to students and people who he is connected with. So yeah, it's kind of a cool relationship.
In fact, he even put your book, Talking to Brick Walls, on his website. That's all about students' welfare across the whole entire state of Nebraska. And you're one of the books, one of the resources that he put up there. Because it's a powerful book, Mike. You've done a great job. And I love how you took a person like Jay, who's an expert in this area, and you just said, hey, will you help me write this book? Because a guy, man, the stuff he knows. I liked what Jay said, too. He said, it's not going away. Now, we can't live in the dinosaur age of, well, it wasn't there when I grew up. So, you know, he said that. We can't live in that age. It's not going away. So we need to learn to adapt. And I love, Mike, that we're giving them plenty to help with. Your entire Chapter 9, as well as Jay's website, got a lot of stuff on there, as well as two different podcasts that you did with Jay. So don't get overwhelmed. Dive into it instead. And make changes one step at a time. Is there anything else that you'd want to add to that?
No, that's good. That's really good.
Okay, cool. All right, well, talking about your book, Talking to Brick Walls, let's get back to Chapter 2. Your book is full of so much stuff. We did a whole podcast just on the introduction alone. And then we did a whole entire episode, and it was only got through the first part of Chapter 2. So there was some really good stuff in Chapter 2 that I would like to finish up Chapter 2, if you don't mind. You okay with that?
Yeah, it actually goes really well with the social media stuff.
That's what I thought. Because one thing I want to talk about, you talked about, you know, here's the part that lines up with social media. You talked about our kids being image managers. You said in there, in your quote, you said, your children's need to please you and your need to know that they are okay can be the perfect storm for deception. So talk to us a little bit about image managers.
Well, they have two worlds they need to negotiate. So I can't emphasize that enough, that there are two conflicting worlds, or I call them governments, actually. And a government means the control exercised over the body of its members, right? So you have to think of it like this. Your child every day, when they walk into a public school or even a private school, any kind of social construct where they're required to meet those needs of that construct, of that social construct, they are opposing to what most likely they're opposing to your values. So they have to please you. They love you. They know what you believe about them. They have an image in their head that you have for them, because you've been consciously or unconsciously, you've been projecting that onto them for years. You maybe putting some of your worldviews in there and some of your religious views, or what you think is important about America, or, you know, those kind of things are embedded into their fabric of who they are. They know that. They walk into their school, and most likely a lot of the rules of that government, that social government, fly right in the face of the values that you have at home. So you understanding that as a parent is really key, because you can't trivialize it. As soon as you trivialize it, you put them into a bad spot, because you're not understanding where their pressure is, where the tension is coming from. Most of the time, the tension isn't coming from the fact that they really do adhere to these values at school, these, you know, the things that are important to a 17-year-old. They really just want to please both worlds, because the price they're going to pay for not at least pretending that they adhere to the social constructs of, you know, of their school, they're going to pay the price for that. So if they don't at least pretend and also get into it a little bit, that FOMO, that fear of missing out part, is important. So that's why the social media is so, it has poured gasoline on it. On that particular dynamic, social media has poured gasoline on that, because it gives them great access to that social world now.
Right.
And they're being monitored. Whereas before, when I was growing up, you didn't know what I really felt about life, yeah, unless you asked me specifically. But now on my profile, I have to put certain things on there that make it look like I at least understand what's going on socially in this world. And so as a parent, you've got to understand that tension, because they have a public image that is out there for everybody to see if they're on social media, for them to protect and for them to project who they really are. At the same time, they love you. They believe in what you believe in. And so they want to please both worlds. That tension, in my opinion, is killing kids. It's that pressure is piling on top of kids like no other thing that we've ever seen. I just had a bad situation happen to me Friday. I was at a school in Nebraska, and I spoke in the afternoon, and it went well. It was great. 600 kids, and it went very well. Saturday morning, I got an email from a teacher at the school thanking me and very complimentary. But she said, I have some bad news as well. And she shared that a young man skipped the assembly. I didn't know this at first, but I found out later. He had skipped the assembly and went home and took his life. And he didn't get to hear the words of life that we had for him. And I don't know the details yet. I'm probably going to find out soon here what was going on with this kid. But most likely that social pressure was part of it. I'm not saying it was all of it, but it was part of it. And he didn't know how to negotiate and deal with it. And so, man, if he'd just been in my assembly, I'm not saying he might have still followed through with that. I don't know. But at least we would have had a fighting chance to speak truth and love into his life.
Right. You talked too about that. It's not just a matter of they're just trying to please their friends. Talk to us a little bit about what happens. I mean, I love the fact that our kids, they want to follow what they grew up in, what our family, we know, they know what's expected at home. But can you go a little bit more into the price that they pay if they buck up against, if they reject, if they don't follow that other value system at that other government at the school? What price do these kids pay? It's not just a matter of, I'm just going to walk away, right? There's a big price they have to pay if they don't follow through. Can you explain that a little bit?
Sure. There's a lot of school psychologists and people in that mental health field that say public humiliation is the number one fear for young people. They do not want to be publicly humiliated. So when I was growing up, public humiliation meant you saying something in the hallway about me and everybody laughing.
Right.
Now, we have a TV studio right here that will broadcast out to thousands of people your social mistake. So apathy, I don't know if it's apathy. You know, when people say, well, these kids are apathetic, they don't care about the things that matter in life. Really? Well, I don't know if that's true, because apathy means they don't care. They do care, but they also care that they're not being blasted all over social media if they don't follow, again, the social constructs that are important.
And wouldn't you say the problem is that they care? That's part of the problem, is that they do care. And that's the price that they, otherwise they would just forget it all.
Yeah.
And
I think in one of the last podcasts, I'm not sure if I mentioned this or not, but there was a kid that went to a teacher and said, please stop praising me in front of the kids, because every time you say I got an A, I go out in the hallway and I get, you know, ridiculed for it socially, because that's exactly what I'm trying to say, is he's trying to please his parents and the adults in his life by doing well in school. So obviously he got the good grade, but then he's got to walk out in the hallway and go right into that government where they're like, no, that's not cool, dude. And that puts pressure on him. So he becomes a manager by going to the teacher and saying, hey, listen, stop doing that. He's still going to get the grades, but just don't point me out. Don't make me a target. And that's what that teacher was doing, not meaning to, but that's what that teacher was doing. And so that's important. Another thing I want to say too is sometimes parents use public humiliation to shame their kid, or to try to use that as leverage to get their kid to do the right thing. And I'd say that's the most wrong thing. Like, you should never do that. And also, don't trivialize the fact that they could be ridiculed publicly on social media as well. Because when you do that, you're basically disrespecting that part of their world. If you say something, well, it doesn't matter, you know you're loved and things like that. Well, that's true, but they also still have to live in that world. And they live in that world longer on a daily basis. They live in that world twice as much or three times as much as they live in your world. So they're exposed to this public humiliation, this public set of rules a lot longer than just being at your house. They don't live at your house. They sleep at your house, and they live in their social world.
Even when they're eating dinner with you, if they are or whatever, and they got their phone out and they're still living, you know, in that world. And in your decades of speaking in schools, you've got story after story after story of kids that have come up to you just messed up because they decided to buck the system. How they're treated in school, and it's brutal to them because they decided, I'm going to try to follow the government of my home and not follow this government. But there is a huge price to pay, and I agree with you. We should not trivialize that at all.
We should still ask them. And I'm a big-time advocate of helping kids. One of the big things we do in schools is help cultures. We want to help a culture. We want to help the social culture be a positive place so kids feel safe. Well, it's not going to come through posters and mission statements hung up on a wall, right? It's like, I don't drink milk because Justin Bieber does. You put up a poster of Justin Bieber.
Right.
I don't care, you know, because that's just a passive impression. What's going to change a culture of a school is when a popular kid, a kid with social equity, says, this is what we're going to do. If a kid is being ridiculed in the hallway and this other, you know, if a teacher steps up and takes care of that, that's an outside in approach, right? That's a teacher saying, hey, this is what we believe. That's important. That needs to happen. But when a kid steps up and says, hey, leave the kid alone, leave him alone, that's a whole different ball game.
Yeah.
Now that kid definitely is going to get ridiculed because he just stood up in front of the whole school and said, don't do this. This is who we are. We need more kids like that. We need the school we need kids in that school to step up and promote a positive culture. But we also have to be cognizant of the fact that we're asking a big thing. This is not a small ask anymore.
Yeah.
It's a big ask.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I agree. And you, in your last podcast, you said something, and I'm probably going to get it messed up here, but you said something along the lines of, our kids need us to communicate with them now more than they ever did before as a teenager. But now is also the time where we tend to pull back because of the cues that we're picking up from them. Am I even getting close to that?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, they're mean looking. They don't look like they need us.
Yeah.
And so and they do that on purpose. It's a definite wall, part of their wall they're putting up to make you go away, right? They just don't talk to me, don't bother me. You know, eighth grade girls are just, you know, the craziest people on the planet. And they get that look, right? It's that look like, you know, you're wearing that, you know, that kind of thing. And so it makes it easy for us as parents and adults to just coil back and be like, you know what, I'm good. You know, we get protective of ourselves. And I get that, but that's the worst possible time to do that.
Yeah.
It's time to go forward. And you know, I talk in the book a little bit about walls and boundaries, right? Walls are different than boundaries, but they look alike. So you have to be really careful. To me,
this, and I am,
go ahead.
And I am wondering if we can, because I wanted, that was my next thing on the list. So I'm glad that you brought up walls and boundaries, but I noticed that we're out of time here now. So can we come back and do another podcast on that walls and boundaries? Because there's, I don't want to just rush through it really quick here, because you say a lot of really good things in there. Would that be okay if we did that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So can we just wrap it up then with the whole image managers and social media? You know, Sue Klebold, you talked about her in the last podcast as we wrap this one up, where she was the mother of Dylan Klebold from the Columbine, whose son, you know, was one of the shooters in the Columbine shooting. She says in her book that when she was asking Dylan if he was okay, she was really asking him to be okay. Can you talk about that and then maybe wrap this thing up?
Yeah, that's a really good quote. That's very powerful, because really what she was saying is what, and I can relate to this as a parent. Hey, listen, you know, I'm checking in. Are you okay? And we don't want to do the deep dive into what's really going on, because it's scary for us. It's not that we don't love our kids, all of us. If you're listening to this or watching this podcast right now, you love your child, and that's great. That's why you're listening to this. So we do love them, but that world's messy. That world makes us crazy a little bit. We don't understand it.
Yeah.
And so it's easy to, you know, to ask a question like that. Hey, you know, are you okay?
Yeah.
And Dylan picked that up, that you want me to be okay, so I'm going to tell you I'm okay.
Yeah.
And I want to say that again. You want me to be okay, so I'm going to tell you I'm okay.
That's good.
Be careful with that with your child.
Yeah. Because
if they project or they perceive that you just want them to be all right, but you don't really want to know what's going on in their life, they'll give you lip service, and it might not be accurate.
Yeah, yeah. Like you said, and I want to wrap it up with this, that you said in your book, the most important thing is not for my children to live up to an image. The important thing is that we have a relationship. I just thought that was gold. That was gold. So tell us how we can find this book of yours to really help us talk to brick walls and really help in the social media thing. Chapter 9, talking to TikTok. We'll come back and finish chapter 2 in the next episode, but how do we get to your book? How can we get your book?
So it's MikeDonahueConnects.com, and we changed our website, and I want to kind of talk about this. Mike Donahue Connects, because that's what I feel like my goal is. I want to connect kids to their parents, and I also want to connect kids to the truth about themselves. And so MikeDonahueConnects.com is the website, and there's resources on there as well. The book is actually going to be released by Amazon at the end of January of 2023.
Excellent.
But it's MikeDonahueConnects.com.
Excellent. Cool. Well, thanks, Mike. Thanks for what you do. Thanks for your heart. Thanks for putting out this podcast and helping us learn how to connect with our kids.
Thanks, Steve-O.
Yep. Welcome. Thank you.
Bye, guys.
Hello, Walt.